Wikipedia.org is a massive site with over 5,275,000 articles in English alone.
Whoa, that's a lot.
Many people can tell you the accuracy of this knowledge, but Ben Graw...
This is the Ben voice.
And Garth Remington...
This is the Garth voice.
...are not even smart enough to determine what is true and what is not.
Yeah, they're kind of dumb.
If knowledge starts conversation, then they will review Wikipedia pages for their entertainment value and find which pages are boring...
That's boring. Leave me alone. Such a loser.
...and which are interesting.
That's so interesting.
Wanna have sex?
They're doing one page at a time, and they're not stopping till they've done every single one.
They're going to do all of them?
This is the Wiki Review.
Selling your testicles for a better life actually seems like an alright deal.
I'm not going to Google it because I don't need that in my search history.
It would feel completely invasive for about 2 weeks. And then it would just be life.
Couple of things.
Origin of Patreon.
Yep.
I'm sure you're really going to bring it this episode.
You're very enthusiastic about this. I'm interested to see why. It's on. All right.
Okay, dude. Really, I just stuck to it and got passionate because I sort of did it as like a funny like joke SMS to you.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I sent it, I was kind of like, oh, he's going to think that I've got like all this gold on paper. And it's like...
Nah, I was just making a joke. All right, good. Then you're back with me. Okay.
All right. So we're back for another episode of the Wiki Review.
Welcome back, people.
Yes, I'm Ben Graw.
I'm Garth Remington.
And we're going over Wikipedia. We're reviewing all the pages one at a time. And today in our run, we have paper.
Paper, that's a good one. I've heard a lot about what paper is. Like, I've heard people say the word paper, mainly in rap songs. I'm interested to see. Apparently, it's a very popular thing.
Yeah. Well, I was skeptical about the page at first, but you suggested this one and you seem very passionate about it, so...
Yeah, Puff Daddy, or P. Diddy, Popper, Sean Combs was always talking about getting paper and how it can get stuff with paper. I really like to know what paper is. I mean, I thought I knew, but the context he uses it in, not what I thought. You know, it's not how I would have used it in a sentence. So let's let Wikipedia tell us. Let's learn.
Well, the first picture that you see is a roll of paper towel.
Carton tissue paper, which generally when you think of paper, that's not your first go-to on paper, is it? But that's Wikipedia's go-to.
Now, what does Diddy reckon you can get with that?
He never mentions anything about cleaning up a mess.
Oh, you could mop up some mad spills with that.
Well, they're always talking about their roll, so maybe that's, you know, I'm rolling with my crew, it's all about the paper. So clearly, you know, they must spill a lot of milk in their house. You know, don't cry over it. Now, it says that paper is a thin material produced by pressing together moist fibers.
moist.
of cellulose pulp derived from wood, rags, or grasses. So, are they saying that paper is just tree fat? Cellulose? Is that what that means?
I think so, yeah. Tree pulp. I guess that's what cellulose is.
Tree fat. All right, so these are some fat trees. Getting some fat wood.
See, I got a bit distracted there by the fact that if you go down the page, it turns out paper as we know it was invented in the 2nd century BC by a eunuch.
By a eunuch. Like, why is that important? I've got no genitalia. Well, I'm going to invent paper. That'll make up for it, right?
The pulp paper making process is ascribed to Che Lun, a 2nd century Han court eunuch.
Do you reckon he'd be upset that that's what's known about him? You invented paper and you're a eunuch. You've got no genitalia. Couldn't you just say I invented paper? I would have been happy with just that.
I invented paper to get the eunuch taken out of my name.
If I had a penis, I wouldn't have had to worry about making paper. I would have just, you know, enjoyed life. But this does go back to what P. Diddy he talks about. Like, if you've got the paper, it doesn't matter what your genitalia is like. It's how you get the bitches in 2nd century AD China. Still applies today.
So 2nd century, is that 2nd century AD?
Yeah.
2nd century BC.
Oh, sorry. Okay, so the oldest known archaeological fragments of the immediate precursor to modern paper due to date to the 2nd century BC in China, but a 2nd century AD Han court eunuch. But that's 400 years apart.
Yeah, and you've also got down here hemp wrapping paper from 100 BC, which is much earlier.
Now, I have to ask, how do they know it was wrapping paper? I mean, they've got little fragments there, which one of them kind of looks like a person, another kind of looks like a ninja. I feel like I'm doing a psychological blot test, which...
It is very Rorschach's. Is it shaped like countries?
I'd say that one looks like Scorpion from Mortal Kombat.
That's a rabbit.
That's definitely a rabbit.
Because that's the ears and that's the eyes.
I see that, yes. And top one, maybe a mushroom or something. All I know is, no matter what they
tell... Now that's flowers.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Doesn't matter what you see in those tests, just tell the guy it's a butterfly and they'll let you go. Mm. That's all that matters. But how do... See, what my point is, they look like things. Mm. I'm guessing that's just what they look like after, what, 2,000 years of doing nothing. How do they know they wrapped things? That couldn't wrap anything.
I think that's fragments of the wrapping paper.
Well, why couldn't they give us the whole... Well, I suppose, you know...
Because when you wrap something, you tear it off.
That's true. Or, like, when you open up a present that's been wrapped, like, you know, that's pretty much what it looks like at the end. I mean, you ever been to a 2-year-old's birthday party?
So that's probably all from the same wrapping paper, just torn off.
Same thing. And we decided to use hemp, which is rope. I discovered that hemp is not weed.
Yeah, some of the wrapping paper's been burnt.
Does make sense. It's for wrapping hemp. It's not hemp wrapping paper. It's wrapping paper for hemp. Okay, so
those rolly papers.
Yeah, this is your tally-ho right here. Thank you, China, for inventing that. That's how you get your blunts rolling. Once again, back to P. Diddy.
And then eventually some eunuchs is just like, we can write on this.
Of course, you'd find another purpose for it, wouldn't you? Got nothing else to do. Why are you picking on me? You take my penis and now you're going to make fun of me? Yeah, that's funny.
Apparently with paper, they could use it as a substitute for silk. Well, so if you had like silk boxes, would you mind substituting it for paper underwear?
Ooh, paper cut. But if you've ever been to hospital, they give you a paper gown for a lot of things. Does that mean that you could have had a silk option? Like they just give you the paper? Maybe if you ask, do you have this robe in silk?
Yeah, if it wasn't for this douchey guy, this eunuch, you could have been wearing silk when you go to hospitals.
Well, that does make sense. I mean, it would be a lot more comfortable for him. Well, it would be a lot less comfortable for everyone else because we got more sensitive stuff down there. But he's like, I don't really see what the problem is. I don't feel itchy anywhere. Nothing's getting cut on me.
I want to drink coffee out of silk cups.
Ooh, yes. Like, can you do that? Well, first off, it's coming out of a worm's butt. Let's just say that. And then you're going to drink out of it. A paper has got some starchiness to it, though, so it can stand up. And then, you know, you line it with wax so that it doesn't... Actually, I always thought that. Like, paper cups. Paper is not known for its retentive qualities of holding liquid. And someone went, you know what? I'm going to use it for a cup. Like, do you reckon when they first released the paper cup, like, there was at least one person going, what? You're an idiot. That's not going to work. Like, trying to break through a wet paper bag. You ever heard that expression? I bought my milk today. I'm going to take it home in a paper bag.
Hey, it's worked. Just drink it quick.
Just drink it quick, guys. Then you get to squeeze out the rest and you get that real paper flavor in it.
I hate those paper cups that have like the pointed bottoms, the little cone one.
I feel like it's a wasted opportunity. You could have a snow cone in there, but it's also like you can't put it down.
I think that's the point of it though. So you don't leave coffee cups around everywhere. They just give you that, or water cups around everywhere. They just give you that so you can't put it down. You have to finish it and then throw it out.
You see, they think that, but knowing that if I have a cone cup, I'm going to make sure that I just leave it somewhere. I'm sorry. I tried to put it down carefully. It's not my fault the content spilled out. You should have rethought your cup. Or if you drink it a little bit, once it's down a little way, you can push the point up and make yourself...
Yeah, make like a little punt like on the wine bottles.
Exactly. They didn't think of that.
You could make like a little plastic stand for it that it goes into.
I remember I was at a party once. There wasn't the finest party. They didn't have cups. So a guy got a bread knife, cut a 2-liter bottle in half, gave me the bottom, which was great for me. He then found the bottle lid and then there was a second cup for my friend and he was in that situation because, you know, the top half used as a cup that you can't put that down. That's the bottle version of paper, I guess.
Though if you want to skull that one, you just take off the bottom.
Shotgun it. That's a very delicate process. So wrapping paper is from 100 BC, which is, that's around the time that they figured a eunuch. Once again, I can't believe, you know, poor Han, what was his name? Kai Lun? Poor Kai Lun.
Yeah, Kai Lun. Let's have a look at what Kai Lun looks like. So, well, that's just...
Very stereotypical, if you have to ask me.
If you drew that today, that would just be racist.
Yeah, that's really not cool. Maybe it's a perfect likeness and we just don't know.
His head was square like that.
I'm pretty sure, and he had the Fu Manchu mustache and goatee. That might have been him. I don't see him holding his crutch in at all, although I do see a lot of people. It's a picture of him in the middle, I'm guessing, with four people around him. They all seem to be looking at him like, dude, you don't have a wang.
I love that, because on his Wikipedia page, second line in, it just goes Chinese eunuch.
Chinese eunuch. He's not a Chinese person who is a eunuch. He's a Chinese eunuch. That's a specific kind of eunuch. You're not even a person. Chinese person who was a eunuch. That's, that poor guy.
At least he's not a eunuch from China, because he's like, at least Chinese comes first.
At least, yeah, that's true. I'm known for paper, I'm known for being Chinese, and I'm a eunuch. That's an upgrade, you know. I mean, before he invented paper, he was just a eunuch. And, you know, everyone he knew was Chinese, so that was kind of irrelevant. Oh, he's Chinese, yes, yeah, so is everyone.
That's the thing, it's not even like that's a selling point. Like, if you told me that I could be the greatest inventor, change humanity forever, all I gotta do is cut my balls off, screw you, humanity.
Yeah, humanity, you don't get a chance. I mean, no. Everything great that's ever been accomplished by humanity is generally so we can get laid. I have no idea why he bothered. I think it's just suddenly he had all this spare time. What do I do with myself now?
Yeah, eunuchs have way more spare time than the rest of us.
I'm just gonna beat this wood until it's... That's... He had no wood to beat. So he beat literal wood and then went, hey, this... You could write on this. That's all right.
Yeah, he would have had to beat it to pulp. Do you know how much you gotta beat wood?
Till it's soft. Generally happens the other way around.
Yeah. Did you know that the first name for paper was Bagdadius?
Bagdadius.
Because paper was introduced to the west through the city of Baghdad, it was first called Bagdadius.
Bagdadius.
So it's referenced in everything.
Oh, wow. So, like, it's from Iraq.
Yeah.
Apparently, they invented the wheel there, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a museum. I've been told this. I have nothing to back this up other than hearsay. But someone says there's a museum there where it's, like, they invented the first wheel. I don't think they actually have the first wheel there. I wouldn't believe that's a thing.
I thought that the first wheel, humans would have invented that before we all left Africa. Well, that's the origin of people.
Well, yeah, but we didn't invent wheels then. Because, I mean, have you ever been to Africa, like, in the jungle? Like, where would a wheel work? They say Aboriginals never invented the wheel, but have you seen outback Australia? Where would you use a wheel? You'd have to make a road first.
That does occur to me. The Middle East is in Africa.
First stop. They made it out of Africa, and then, well, look, if we're going to go any further, we're going to need something. We're going to need like a cart or something. Once again, this is all hearsay. Everything I know is from movies. Isn't Baghdad or like isn't Iraq like mostly sand?
Pretty much.
Like, how good is a wheel really going to help you there? I bet when the guy invented the wheel, they were like, oh, that's really clever. What's it for? Oh, you sort of, you put it on the ends of things and then like, so you have a cart and then you just pull it along. You mean like a sled? No, this like rolls so it's easier. Then he would have invented the first bog. Well, now we're bogged.
First person to ask for a toe.
Invent the wheel and then you gotta wait for someone else to also invent the wheel so they can help you out of the sand pit.
Well, that's like the telephone. The first one, that's stupid. It's when the second one got invented, things got interesting.
Yeah, so you can call people. Like who? Well, other people who have them. Like who? Well, do you want to buy one so I can talk to you? I'm just saying, the guy went, what was it, Graham Bell? He would have had to be pretty interesting a person for people to buy a phone just so they could talk to him. Although, like walkie-talkies. You know, you bought walkie-talkies as a kid. It was essentially two walkie-talkies that could talk to each other so you could talk to your friend.
And not even from that far away either.
No, it would have actually been a lot easier just to talk. Like, you're right next to each other going, can you hear me now? How about now? How about now?
Just saying, did you ever do those telephone tin cans with the string and the...
No, because I was under the reality that doesn't work.
No, they suck.
Yeah, that's not a...
suck. You can hear the person, but you can hear the person talking louder to you in like real life than you can through the can.
Still better than Vodafone.
Yeah, true. You get reception in more places.
Anywhere there's a string.
I always saw in cartoons, I wanted one where you could like hook it up to multi different lines. Like you had different friends and you just got to attach a different string to each.
Add another string and then it's a teleconference.
Because I do remember at one stage, yeah, we had a group of friends and we wanted to have a network of like string that was done up all around the neighborhood.
Like a phone line?
Yeah. And then we gave it a try just like setting up one, and because they suck so much, we never bothered setting up that little telecommunication system.
And that's the end of an economic venture, isn't it?
Well, to invent that would have been really awkward. Could you imagine maintaining that? The pieces of string would have lasted a day at max and we would have had to get changing them.
I can't hear you. There's a bird on the line. What happened to your phone line? Oh, my mum needed to wrap a present. Or was it hemp?
So what else? They got early source of fibers.
I just wanted to go back up to the top for a bit because it says, like, we've skipped over a little bit, which I think is a real standout because we all know that paper comes from trees.
Yes.
Right? And it says they're derived from wood, but it also says rags or grasses.
Now, well, grasses has to be the hemp.
Yeah. Obviously, that's your hemp paper is from grass. I don't know if they should be using such slang terminology straight up for paper, but like we said, it's all about the wrappers in today's webpage. But rags. What's a rag made out of?
Fabric.
So it's kind of already a thing. And that's going to be some raggedy paper they're making.
I think rags have to be useless by definition.
Yeah, you say that, but you know, there's a whole industry of rags out there. You may not know this. There's a lot of, there are companies that exist that sell rags.
Yeah, we get rags at our work.
See, there you go. And it's, that's someone. They go around collecting rags and selling rags. This is, like, you know, you see that in, like, medieval movies where, like, the guy, like, goes through the town and he's like, rags for sale. And you go, wow, what a horrible time. That's still around, man. And it's big business.
Yeah, it's just more streamlined these days. Rags have their uses, but to become a rag, you can't be useful as what you were before.
It's kind of degraded beyond its use until it's just used for, like, rubbing on things and cleaning things.
It's exactly right. Yeah, it's like when your t-shirt no longer works as a t-shirt, it becomes now a rag.
It's now a rag.
It's now repurposed and it's useful again. It can be made into paper.
So now it's paper. But once again, that comes down to the definition of useless to you, because I've got t-shirts that, by most people's standards, are now rags. I still wear them out to formal occasions.
Yeah, I've got much the same thing going. I've still got shirts from when I was, like, 17.
Yep, yep. Like, technically, it's not really a shirt anymore. Mm. It's more whole than it is. Like, there's more air in it than there is fibers.
See, I got multiple choices of arm and head holes on my shirts now.
I like to think of it as breathable. You know, the armpits are usually the first to go, and that's where you need the most air. I don't know why they don't or come with the speed holes. Makes the shirt go faster. So, rags, I don't think that's technically paper. I think, like, because they say, you said earlier, it says that paper is a substitute for silk, but you can make paper out of rags. I'm guessing silk rags?
Possibly.
So this is just
some, but it's not a very good substitute for silk, then.
No. Well, technically, according to this, it is silk. That's just some cylindrical, you know, which came first, chicken, egg, paper, silk thing. I think that's a whole red herring. I don't think that's real.
You don't think they're made from rags?
No. Well, yeah, no. I'm just going to say straight out no. That.
Well, it does go down later into paper making.
Okay. Well, actually, I'm just going to backtrack on what I just said. Like, you ever gotten a wedding invitation? Like, that's kind of like silky, fabric-y paper sometimes.
That's true. But I always just assume they rub some, like, wax on it or something.
That probably makes more sense. I mean, no one really wants... Oh, it's a nice wedding invitation. What's it made out of? Rags. It's a rags to riches story. What a fairy tale. But yeah, paper making. What, chemical pulping, mechanical pulping, de-inked pulp?
You said that China is the leading production of paper, with United States right behind it.
Wow.
Those two countries always make the most of everything.
That's true. Pollution, paper, annoyance.
So you lose those two, global warming's no longer an issue.
That is the absolute truth right there. Well, China makes pollution because it produces everything for everyone, because everyone buys their stuff. So that's as much everyone else's fault. But America, China makes it, America uses it, and they both pollute. You get rid of those two. Everyone else is kind of like, yeah. You know when you go to a party, it's a nice party, everyone's nice, but there's these two guys that are just dicks that just won't shut up, and they keep egging each other on, and then eventually they pass out because they drank too much. Then the party's kind of nice.
And they both keep coming up to you going, hey, isn't the other guy such a dick? And you're like, yeah, but so are you.
We got one on either side of you. God, he's a dick. Yeah, yeah, he totally is. God, he's a dick. Yeah, yeah, you both. Problem is, in reality, at the party, those two are going to go outside and sort out their problems. Well, actually, no, they're not. They're going to have a fight and break the coffee table. And that sounds like where we're heading. What I'm saying is the Earth's coffee table is going to get broken. Maybe the phone, too.
Well, here you go. Going back down again to the early source of fibers. Before the industrialization of paper production, the most common fibers source were recycled fibers from used textiles called
rags. Wow. The
rags were from hemp, linen, and cotton.
Okay, wow. That does explain, like, you know, like scrolls back in the day. Like, have you ever tried to make a scroll out of paper? Like, paper doesn't really want to be rolled, but linen, man, it's up for the rolling. I mean, unless it's specifically designed with, like, wax or something to be a rolly paper. Okay, so we're learning a whole thing here. Like, it turns out that paper isn't paper as we know it. Paper was curtains. Stop writing on the curtains.
I think this does tell us something also about the people who pick the pictures who go on these pages.
Yep.
Because you see this second picture here of paper, some ancient Sanskrit paper.
Yep.
What do you think that's made of?
I'm going to say it's a tablecloth, isn't it? That's a placemat.
It's hemp-based.
Hemp-based. Everything's made out of rope.
We have, like, hemp-based wrapping paper and hemp-based Sanskrit paper. Someone's plugging hemp-based paper.
I think the hemp people are really all over Wikipedia for their mass distribution of hemp. We have so many uses, guys!
Like, we got to make this page on paper interesting. Like, who's going to look up paper?
Yeah, who's going to be like, oh, dude, you know, smoking their joint. Dude, check out paper. Oh my god, they said hemp. They know we're stoned right now.
They totally know.
See, the target market for this page is people who are stoned and any idiots who are just reviewing Wikipedia.
Basically us and stoners. So basically stoners. Yeah, they know their audience. You know, that's actually good. It's nice to know that they've done the market research on who's actually going to be bothered. Or you could go as far as to say, even back one step, who'd actually post this? You'd have to be pretty stoned to go, you know what? The world needs to know about paper.
Not only that, there are references for it. Who wrote the references? How many pages are there on the paper?
And it's all about like how to make paper, what you can make paper out of. Like, I think some people have run out of their tally-hos and they're just like, well, what do we do? You know, other people might have this same problem. They need to know. I mean, what I'm saying is if you ever see a stoner cutting down a tree, that guy, like the store's closed, he's going to be beating some wood into moist fibers so he can smoke his weed. I'm like, dude, just do a bucket.
I like the idea that there would be somebody who back in the early days would have looked up paper on Wikipedia and not seen a Wikipedia page. And then that night they just couldn't sleep. They're like, people aren't going to know the truth about paper.
They're not going to know anything, man. Like, where could it have come from? Look, I'm going to stay up all night. I'm going to research. I got my P. Diddy CD. Going to listen to what Dr. Dre has to say about it. I mean, he has a PhD. He must know what he's talking about. We're going to let everyone know. And maybe this has got something to do with they were in the clothing industry or something.
It means that, like, writing on T-shirts goes back to...
Second century BC.
What if I just write on it before we turn it into a rag?
Maybe that's what happened to him. He had this T-shirt that just said... eunuch. Eunuch for life.
Eunuch? It sounds like one, because it's not uni at the start, but it sounds very similar to it. I always thought
it sounds like unique.
I always thought it sounded like someone who would have like one testicle. No, it's not.
It's kind of a very nice, like, it's one of those words that if you don't know what it means, it's like eunuch. Oh, okay, that's interesting. Mm. What does that mean? It means you have no genitalia. What?
I think every man is very clear on the definition of eunuch.
When you read it, it kind of comes out inunch. It's not written eunuch, it's written inunch. And so it's kind of one of those, like, at first you read it and you go, he was an inunch. Inunch? What's an inunch? Oh, eunuch. Oh,
I want the word to be inunch again.
Yes. Bring it back. I think when it came about, because like mostly eunuchs existed because kings wanted guys to protect their harem or their, you know, their women, knowing that they wouldn't sleep with them. But they didn't want to make it out that they were insecure. You know, like, no, I'm such a good lay that these 40 women will sit around and desperately wait for the one day that I give them the attention. They're not going to think about cheating on me. So these guys, no, I didn't cut their genitalia off. They're eunuchs. You're unique.
It's a privilege.
It's a privilege. Either that or like when they had sign up today, eunuchs wanted. Oh, I don't know what it is, but it sounds like good pay rate. I'm in. Get to live in the palace. What could possibly go wrong? Might even meet a nice princess in there, eh?
See, I would hate to live in a day and age where selling your testicles for a better life actually seems like an all right deal.
Where, yeah, like living in a period of time where it's worse to have your genitalia. It's not like, well, clearly I'm not going to sacrifice that because, you know, I can always go on Centrelink.
You reckon back then if you lost them in a farming accident, you'd just be like, oh, well, when the universe gives you lemons. Or takes your lemons.
Make eunuch aid. Well, I get, hey, Dad, good news. I no longer have to be a farmer. I now qualify to work in the palace. I'm going up in this world and my children will,
Yeah, they have rag pickers here. That's how they used to get their supplies.
Like, that's a person who picks rags?
Yes. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. They do have a link in case you're unsure.
Oh, yeah.
See, they would, yeah, walk around with that little trolley.
A rag picker or chiffoneria. It's like chiffon. Do you reckon chiffon's aware that that means rag picker? What are you wearing, darling? It's chiffon. Ah, you raggedy bitch.
Or maybe it's just the heir to chiffon's fortune.
That's how it happened. We're going to sell $1,000 dresses made out of rags. And these people are going to be stupid enough to think it's fancy.
Well, maybe that was like they had a lot of chiffon stuff, though I think rag pickers are older than... That term's probably a lot older.
Yeah.
In the 19th and 20th century.
Ironically, around the same time as the Industrial Revolution. I think when the Industrial Revolution happened, like lots of people were unemployed and there's a lot of poverty, but that was the golden age for rag picking. Like rags are primarily used for cleaning, you know, machines. And before the Industrial Revolution, we didn't have machines. So these people like, oh, we're no longer farmers, but we suddenly need a lot of rags. rags. Before the Industrial Revolution, if you were a rag picker, you were just trying to sell crap, really. You want to buy some rags? Why would we want to buy rags? You're an idiot. No, no, one day this is going to make me millions of dollars. What's a million?
No one can have that.
That's not a thing.
Yeah, back in those days, $1 million was the same as saying $1 bajillion.
It was. It's a Google. It's some ridiculous... What? There's not that many zeros in existence.
One day I'm going to have $100.
Ooh, he's a go-getter.
He's crazy. He's shooting for the stars.
That guy's going places, man. He's got a dream. Strip clubs would have been harder in those days. I got tipped a florin.
Well, they would have also been harder in the strip clubs with all the rag pickers just sitting on the sidelines trying to grab the clothes.
Oh, she dropped it. It's a rag now.
Ooh, yeah, baby. Make it a rag.
Yeah, rag it up, baby. Once it hits the floor, it's a rag. That's the rules. Read your charter.
Yeah, dude. I'm going to clean it and resell it.
Ironically, today you'd make more money with it not cleaning it. There's a whole industry out there for that.
Yeah, I've heard that thing where some women have like taken pictures of themselves in underwear and you can buy that underwear.
Just to qualify this, as far as perverted or fetishes go, there's everything. Anything you can think of exists. So that includes this. You can buy used underwear. In fact, in Japan, everyone knows this, in Japan they have vending machines of used underwear. I don't know if it's just like a resell thing or I assume they sniff them. Is that what you get the panties? Do you wear them? Do you sniff them? Do you sniff them then wear them? Wear them then sniff them? Like, I can't think of any more purposes you can do with the underwear of someone else if that's your thing that gives you your jollies other than sniff it or wear it.
I don't know. What do you do when you get them?
Well, I like to put... Wait a second. Okay, let me qualify this. All you guys at home and Ben, when your girlfriend's not home... Yeah, no. There's a whole industry out there of people buying used underwear, and I believe they'll do specific activities. Like, oh, I go running in these, or I don't know, sit and watch TV. It depends what kind of smell, I guess, they want from it. I eat just garlic.
Yeah, there is this sort of assumption that you'd probably get more money the smellier it is.
Yeah, which is kind of the opposite. Well, I suppose when it comes to fetishes, everything's in reverse, isn't it? This is just me, like, trying to venture into the fetish. Wouldn't clean laundry be the best smelling underwear? Am I completely missing the point here? Oh, yeah. I buy used underwear as long as it's been cleaned first. If I got online and bought this fetish underwear, the first thing I'd do is put it in the wash.
Imagine, like, having a roommate who buys a heap of this underwear and then he washes pile sometime. Just freaking out going, no.
Oh, sorry, dude. It fell in. Wait, why was your fetish underwear in my laundry basket?
So what if I got in some of these panties and then just went, here, sniff this.
I make a general rule that when someone says, smell this, don't smell it.
Never smell it.
It's never a good thing. Hey, does this smell like lemongrass to you?
What if, as a joke, you decided to buy a pair of these used panties, made them look like they were sort of like newish, gave them to your girlfriend as a present, and then showed her the video of the girl exercising and doing all the stuff in it?
I gotta hand it to you. That is the most creative way of breaking up with someone I've ever heard. And now you have crabs.
Well, I guess God's sleeping on my couch now.
I broke up with her and gave her worms simultaneously. I'm a multitasker.
So do you reckon reversed, if you could sell your underwear to women who just wanted to like sniff it and wear it and stuff,
like,
would you do it?
Oh, fucking oath.
Yeah, I'd have like a whole pile every week I could ship out.
I think I could, yeah, I could get a good stank going. You know how like guys are clearly like, oh, I want them to be sweaty, or I want, like, you know, they're all after the smell. Like, the equivalent of guys is like, do you want a skid mark, or what am I doing here? Do you need that, like, that stain, like, you know, the dot that you get?
What
you
if
know?
They say, like, they'll pay double your rate if you eat, like, some curry?
Oh, hell yeah. Absolutely.
Something diarrhea-y.
Something diarrhea-y. We want some spots. Absolutely. Let's be honest. It's probably going to happen anyways. I think if they were like, we need you on a whole kale diet, that's when I'd start going, oh, no. We need more fiber in your diet.
So this person who's making all these weird and somewhat disgusting requests, do you think you could ever meet them?
I think I wouldn't want to, because it might, just by meeting me, I might lose my income. Like, they've clearly decided on this whole other person. Like, they'd meet me and within walking 6 feet of me, they'd realize I don't just smell bad. Like, oh, this is really disappointing. That's a real turnoff.
So you think that they would be put off by you and not you put off by a person who enjoys licking your skid marks?
That's exactly my point. I mean, maybe this is saying a lot about me, but if you're willing to pay money every week for my underwear that stinks, I've already put you in a certain place in my life. You're an income production. If you've got, and I mean, come on, who's to judge? If you've got spare money every week to buy my old underwear, you got everything going for yourself. You're all together. You've got enough money to buy used underwear.
Doesn't matter if the person is a boy or a girl.
I think that, and that's what I wanted to say when you first said it, when you're like, if it was reversed and women were doing it. Let's be real. And this is the pathetic thing about men. Like, if there was a whole industry of selling men's underwear, it's not going to be to women. And it may not even be gay men. It would just be men.
I'm just thinking as you said that, probably already exists.
You know what? You're probably right. I'm not going to Google it because I don't need that in my search history. That's a really awkward conversation coming up with a girlfriend. I was going to look for a used car. I typed in used and it came up used men's underwear for fetish. I couldn't help but wonder. Oh, sweetie, it was for work, I swear. So, Ben, I've been sleeping on your couch all week.
Yeah, by next week, I would have jumped on the internet and been like, hey, guess what? I sold a pair of your underwear. I need you to provide it.
I need this underwear now.
Actually, just put them in the bag. I don't want to touch them.
Here's the bag.
Just take the bag.
Go to another room, preferably at your house. Do you want me to wash the... No. If you were like, you've got to sell this underwear, but we need it stanked up, so you need to go for a run. The thing I'd object to the most about it is having to go for a run. You need me to exercise? Couldn't I just, like, I work up a sweat just watching TV. I'll just turn the aircon off for a couple of hours. Is that the same?
You imagine for like 8 hours a day, you just gotta turn up, run a couple of laps around, take off your underwear, put them in a bag. We send them off. You put on a new pair, or you run a couple of laps around. You just do that. We can send out like 20 pairs a day. True. A Garth Hughes underwear factory.
It's all contingent on me running though after each. What if, like, cause you know about fetish sites where like the guy like, oh no, she needs to be a really big girl. You know, what if these women are really into kind of a, you know, a little bit of pudge on the guy. Mm. All this running might thin me up and then we'll lose our audience.
It could increase our audience.
We'd have to be using old photos of me. They'd be like, oh, this isn't real. You know, I heard he's lost a lot of weight. Yeah, I canceled my subscription.
No, I'm pretty sure our target audience is bigger than if you were in shape than you are now.
That's true. I was into sniffing his underwear until I realized he was a little, he'd lost like 2 kilos. I'm out now.
He's no longer pudgy.
I could tell when the elastic waistband wasn't as stretched. Then he went down a size. You know, it just doesn't do it for me anymore.
Or up to the etymology. I think etymology isn't really like a definition. It's where the word came from, what it's derived from.
Okay, like, because it's from the Latin papyrus. Good rapper name.
Even though it says that like papyrus is also a thing made from the papyrus plant.
It is spelt the same, isn't it?
Yeah, but the two processes are completely different, so.
Okay, well, papyrus was from ancient Egypt, which I always find it funny because they're saying this is from Latin and Greek and ancient Egypt. These are all people who had papyrus. They all had paper. So why do they have so many stone carvings? Why is everything on stone from all three civilizations when they had paper to write on? They could have saved a lot of time.
They could have just used wallpaper.
I like to think that inside the pyramids at some point in history, it was wallpapered. I like to have flowers up on the walls. Maybe an eggshell white.
No, I do always like the Egyptian hieroglyphics, an entire language based on little pictures.
Do those pictures mean something? Like, that's a word that you then have to go, well, giant eye with the things on the side. That means today. Really? So spread it around. Eye with things on the side means today. Like, in other words, it's like a little secret, like a kid's language they made up. This symbol means like today. Okay, only as long as everyone knows that that's what that means, it's a language.
The only thing I know about hieroglyphics is it's eye before eagle, except after seagull. I think that joke is in every kid's cartoon or anything that, yeah, has to do with, like, ancient Egypt. It's a classic one,
though. It is a classic joke. Eye before eagle.
Except after seagull.
And this is one of those that the more you learn about things, the more disgusting the world is. You know the traditional, the Egyptian guy, how he's doing the thing with his hands? That's because it's important to show all limbs on your... They were slaves of the... What do you call the guy in charge?
Pharaoh.
Pharaoh. The Pharaoh made sure that all his slaves' pictures were on his walls, and they all showed all their limbs, because in the afterlife, if the pitcher doesn't have all the limbs, they won't have all their limbs, and they don't want to have a slave in the afterlife with like one arm missing.
They thought that's how it worked.
I don't see where it's carved in stone. Oh wait, there it is. That kind of sucks, doesn't it? Like, you're a slave and you have, and they've built this giant pyramid with using slaves, and then when you die you're gonna be a slave. Well, that kind of sucks.
I always thought it would suck to be a slave having to go into the pyramid after your pharaoh has died.
Well, I think it would just suck to be a slave, but that would particularly particularly suck. Like, because that's what he'd do. They'd kill everyone. Every one of his slaves would be killed and chucked in there. I mean, if I had a chisel, just sort of etch myself off it. I'm going to die, but I am not spending the rest of my life looking after this prick, bringing him dates or whatever pharaohs eat. They'd mummify his cat. They found mummified cats. Like, you know,
they do that alive? They made the slaves kill themselves.
Did they make them kill themselves?
Usually, I've heard stories of either they would drink poison or sometimes they would just go into the pyramid and stand next to him, and when they closed the doors, it'd be a couple of hours before they'd end up suffocating. It's all airtight.
Well, that makes
sense. Oxygen gets in there.
Well, that's gotta suck.
Yeah, it was not a good life or death being a slave.
I always wonder humanity, this is the total summation of humanity, and it's still like this now, where there's this guy in charge. Everyone around him, their life sucks. There's like maybe three guys who are generals or something who lead an army. The armies don't really, they have an okay life if you're a soldier, because you're better armed than the people you're killing. But you're dying. You're out there suffering. And everyone is a slave being held at like knife point. How do we get to this point where there's this one guy like, I am so full of myself. I'm so great. I'm God on earth. And when I die, I want all these people to die so they can serve me in the afterlife. And everyone's just like, yeah, sure, man. Yeah, we'll do that for you. Oh, he died. Oh, quick, everyone get in the pyramid so you can die too. Okay, yeah. Well, we did say we'd do that.
Yeah, I'd be like, hey, he's dead. We don't have to do this anymore. Yeah. I know he said this when he was alive and we were just trying to make him happy, but he can't do shit anymore. He's dead.
It's what's known as an empty promise.
I say we just throw him in the river.
Yeah, I mean, let's hire out the pyramid for like parties and stuff. Let's open a casino in it. Wouldn't that be cool?
A lot of people worked hard on this. He didn't do shit.
Exactly. Like, could we enjoy it? Can we at least enjoy the fruits of our labor? I don't know, make a slide from the top. You could have four people go in at once. It'll be like a race.
Though I reckon if I was a slave to a pharaoh and that pharaoh died, I would turn him into a little puppet and try and trick everyone into thinking he's still alive, like Weekend at Bernie style.
Yes. Tie some string around him, have him on the back of a boat in the Nile, doing the waving hand thing.
Pharaoh, I'm the pharaoh. Because you'd get into that, like, we're slaves to the pharaoh, and I'd just come up to him like, Garth, he's dead. He died. Help me turn him into a puppet.
Okay, sure.
I ain't going in that damn pyramid.
Dibs on putting the stick up his ass.
I think that was already there.
Yeah, that's how he died. I put it there.
I guess that was sort of also a way to make sure that, because you're a dick to your slaves and you hit them around and they think, oh, I want to kill this motherfucker. But if they know that as soon as you die, they die, they're probably not going to kill you.
Exactly. Right. Like, that's the contingency plan. Maybe they have thought this through. I die, you're going to die, and it's going to be really bad the way you do. Like, I'm going to die on a bed surrounded by people trying to save me and, flowers and stuff. You're going to be suffocated, or you're going to drink poison, and then when you die, you're going to serve me in the afterlife. All right, so got that to look forward to.
Imagine that, thinking you're going to be a slave for all of eternity.
That's not going to be good. Thinking about it now, like selling your underwear to fetish people isn't that bad by comparison. You know what? I could have been selling rags this whole time.
Could have been a rag picker. Would have made some quality paper.
This does bring up a good question. Like, because 200 BC is when they first started paper. And papyrus is like ancient Egypt, but that's like a rough paper, they say. It's like thick kind of. I think it's just kind of like peeled off a palm tree or something. At what point do they make toilet paper? Because I don't know how to live life without toilet paper.
I think that's a separate Wikipedia page. This is just a general paper.
Because they start off with paper towel, and they go into all the other papers, but there's no mention of toilet paper, which, if civilization crashed, the first thing I'd do would be grab all the toilet paper. Because I am not using leaves, I am not using magazines. There's one place I don't want a paper cut, and it's right there.
Yeah, I don't think they have
toilet paper
in the sea also down the bottom.
A roll of toilet paper.
So when was toilet paper invented?
And did it always come in rolls, or was it folded for a while? Like, did it come out like a tissue box?
I think it did come out like a tissue box. There's like an old packaging.
Oh, wow. That actually looks like a phone book that you just kind of rip pages out of. Repurposing.
And that's, what is that near the toilet?
It's anal cleaning instruments known as...
Anal. Yeah, I'm glad to have toilet paper over anal cleaning instruments. I don't want to stick any instrument in my ass.
For anyone who's not going to check this out, they're saying anal cleaning instruments, and it's just a picture of sticks, like some flat chopsticks. That's not cool.
Yeah, I think toilet paper was invented in 589 AD.
Which is important because they're saying 200 AD paper was essentially figured out. It took them 389 years to realize that you could wipe your butt with it.
Yeah, someone in that year wrote this really shitty book, and this guy was just like, you know what? This is what I'm going to do with that.
This is
and
what
I wiped his ass with it. And he goes, this is actually pleasant.
This is what I'd give your book. Hey, this is way better than an anal cleaning instrument up the butt. Although it is interesting to note, it was a Japanese person who invented toilet paper, but it was a Chinese person who invented paper, which that does make your story make a lot of sense. Because, well, China and Japan not always got along. A long period of hating
China.
Each other.
It was China. Official. In the 6th century. China.
Yeah. 6th century.
So toilet paper was invented by a Chinese man with two testicles.
Ah. So it takes some balls to turn a piece of paper into toilet paper. Sorry, I thought, because I saw Yan Zhitu, and I thought that was a Japanese sounding name. Shows my knowledge. Yeah, this is a Chinese name.
Chinese name.
All right, I'm just going to shut my mouth.
So yeah, turns out you don't know anything.
You know what? I could have told you that.
You like that whole rant I did about China and Japan? Edit that out for me.
Yeah. Can we just get rid of that?
In hindsight, it makes me look stupid.
It's making me look real bad. In fact, now that I've said it, I'm like, and now that you've proven that that guy wasn't Japanese, maybe they're the best of friends and they always have been. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I know they're different places, but am I speaking idiocy now? I can't trust anything, I think. Toilet paper, it took them a good 300 years to figure out that you could wipe your butt with it. And there are still places in the world that don't use toilet paper, which, I don't know, the thumb? What do they do?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't want to know.
There are places in the world that go more over the top, though, like, and use a bidet. Because Japan and Italy,
they are all about the water up the butt, which, honestly, it would be cleaner, but you'd have to dry your butt afterwards. Like, so you still would use toilet paper up, right? Afterwards? Mm. Is that how it works?
If I had a toilet that shot water directly up my ass, it would feel completely invasive for about 2 weeks. And then it would just be life. I would just get used to it.
And then when you went to places without a bidet, you'd kind of feel dirty. This is not right. There's been no hose up the backside.
That's like people go like, oh, bidet, that sounds creepy to me. And it's just an unpleasant. It's just like, you know what? I'm not thrilled about grabbing a handful of paper and shoving my fist up my ass as it is. So,
you know, it's going to be unpleasant no matter what you do. It's an unpleasant part of the body.
Exactly.
It's not meant to be a happy experience.
We're just happy we have it as good as we have it.
I agree. Because it does bring up a point. Like, you ever been to someone's house and they have a bidet? And it's one of, like, two reactions. Either, like, you know, you could choose to use it and be like, nah, I'm not doing that to myself. Or it's, like, something fun and novel. Like, ooh. Like, they have, like, a toy you've never seen before.
See, I could use somebody else's toilet paper, but not somebody else's bidet.
Although, technically, I mean, you could go over the sanitation of it and how it doesn't actually, there is no transition of fluids from one to the other, and I still wouldn't use it. Because that's the equivalent of using someone's toilet paper that they just used. I mean, even if you say, no, if you fold it in half and use the other side, it's fine. I still don't want to. That's all right with you. You know, the trees can die. That's okay.
Because that's it. Even if something is completely sanitary, the thought alone can just be like, yeah.
It's true. Like, they're doing a whole thing with water of, you know, stuff that came out of the sewage. They can clean it to be cleaner than the water before you drink it. You still don't want to drink it.
Yeah, I reckon they should just do that, but don't tell us.
Apparently they do that in London. They need that for the water, and it's that sort of, I don't think they asked people, they just did it. And I know this because if they asked them, it wouldn't happen. Look, you don't understand. We don't have any water. This is the only option. Yeah, nah, think of something else because I'll just put a bucket out when it rains. It's always raining here.
That's what I reckon. 2 weeks of doing something horrible like that and it just becomes part of life and you're just like, yeah.
That is the ultimate human experience of this is horrible. Just don't think about it and you'll be fine.
Because you'd rather deal with anything than go to effort because you'll say like the... You'll say that I'll put the buckets out, but then when you realize you've got to put out the buckets every single day.
You're like, you know what? Just piss in my face. It's fine.
Just watching TV, you see it's raining, like, ah, screw it. I'll just drink the sewage water.
I don't want to go out there. I'll get wet. I don't want to go out in the rain. Got to put on my raincoat. Got to get a bucket. And when it's full, I got to carry it back in and try not to spill it. You know what? It's got a nice tang to it. You know, that's...
Laziness trumps everything.
It's true. And I've seen a documentary where at water cleaning place, plants where they show the water, they go, this is the sewage coming in, this is the machine, and they explain how it cleans it. They actually don't use it for drinking, they're using it for, I don't know, nuclear power plants or something where they need really clean water cleaner than what we drink.
Yeah, when they take all the minerals out,
it's totally the cleanest water you can. At the end of showing all this and how it's stripped of everything, they pour out a glass and they show how clean it is, and the documentary maker still won't drink it. And like, yeah, I'm with you on that one, brother.
Did the people who were handing him the glass of water drink it?
No.
Did anyone drink it?
No. This is humanity.
See, I would probably drink the glass of water second.
Yeah, you don't want to be the first person.
I'm happy to be Buzz Aldrin in this situation.
That's one small sip for man.
I'd just be handing it off to the other guy going, here you go, Neil, take a sip.
And then you just watch them really keenly. And even though, you know the science, you understand it, and you know it's clean. More than anything, you just don't want to be seen as too eager to drink poo water. Like, you know it's clean, but, you know, if everyone else is, I guess I will. I don't want to be like, you know, give me that glug, glug, glug. Yeah, it's fine. If anything, it's better.
Yeah, because you wouldn't want to know if somebody gave you, the water in advance, gave you two glasses of water and said, one of these is treated sewage and one of these is...
Regular.
Like, look, I know I can't tell the difference, but that actually makes me feel worse about it now.
It's true. Can you... thought I was all right, but yeah, no, at home, we, on the farm, we have bore water.
Yeah.
We're connected to the city for water, regular water. And bore water, it's not as clean. Technically it's cleaner, but it's not. And my mom made us do a taste test and I couldn't tell the difference, but one comes out of dirt, unfiltered, and goes through a rusty pipe, and one comes from the fluoridated, cleansed city. If anything, that just makes me feel worse about the city water. I can't tell the difference. Maybe that's not to do with how piss poor the bore water is. Brisbane water is amazing water. I just want to say that on record. You don't hear that enough. This is nothing funny. This is serious. Fluoridation is a great thing, and we spend a lot of money on our water. I've been Garth Remington.
I'm not a big fan of water. Fish fuck in it.
They do everything in it, yeah. To be honest. They crap in it, they fuck in it, they, I don't know, talk to each other in it. I don't know if fish talk, but...
I highly doubt that fish talk.
Yeah, that's true.
Though I'll probably find we'll do the Wikipedia page for fish, and they'll be like, they have a very unique language. I'm like, huh, motherfucker. Wow.
And they also understand Cantonese. All that time in the tanks in the Chinese restaurants catches up with...
I know that fish have picked up every single language, but never seemed to master English.
It is the hardest language to learn. And that's probably, that quote's probably taken from a fish.
No, I reckon... anyone can understand English if you say it loudly and slowly enough.
It's this is the theory that all people who speak English believe when they're going through, I don't know, Europe or, yeah, or Asia. Do you know where the train station is? Oh, sorry. I didn't hear you before, but now that you said it slow and loud, yeah, it's just down there, bro. that's really gonna happen? All you're doing is just being frustrated in front of someone who really doesn't care about you.
Love just wants somebody to come up and do that to me in another language.
Do other people do that? Is that that really is reserved, but that's how arrogant people who speak English are. No, everyone knows English. Yeah, if you spoke nothing but Polish.
Have some Chinese guy rambling about me in China going if he's gonna come visit here, then he should learn the language. Touché.
But to have someone yell at you, and I'd like it to be some obscure language that's only spoken by in one village in Africa or something. Nubuta Sevina Wana. So that's what it feels like.
So we got the paper making part of the page.
All right, so that's all different ways.
Which are you planning on making paper?
I remember in school we did that once.
You did the recycling thing where you teared up old paper.
But that's all that really was just taking paper and regluing it. You're not making paper, you're just taking paper and turning it back into a sheet of paper.
And you always end up using five sheets of paper just to make one piece of paper.
And you kind of go, wow, paper's really wasteful. I didn't realize that to make one piece of paper, it takes five pieces of paper.
And it's always jagged and crappy and you can't actually write on it properly without it tearing.
Yep, you gotta write around the chunks of wood and leaves or whatever you chucked in there because you're six.
Then they got here a cool picture of a close-up on...
a micrograph.
That's what paper looks like under a microscope or a micrograph.
I do want to say that I think everything looks like that through a microscope.
Yeah, everything pretty much looks like pubic hair through a microscope.
if you took a close-up of a bowl of noodles, pretty much the same thing. I mean, this is what I've been led to believe the brain looks like inside. This is when spider webs collect.
Yeah, everything does kind of look like the opening to a Spider-Man movie.
It does, really, doesn't it?
To just say Spider-Man in big letters across there and it's there's your opening.
Yeah, with great power comes microscopic illumination.
Yeah, the microscopic structure of paper.
And that's, it just looks like everything else. Great, we learned something. Yeah,
I did read a bit of this paper making beforehand. God, it is boring as shit. It's just making paper. Yeah, there are different methods. There's like, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
and then 6. Then the additives you can put on 7, top of it.
Oh, yeah, then additives. And I don't know, like 7 or 8 things. I mean, what additives can you have? China clay.
China clay. But once again, this is where you go, like, I'm completely open to paper not being what I thought it was. Because from the start, they say it's actually linen or rags. But when you add clay, I mean, we're starting to get a little away from the textiles, a little bit more into the building materials. At what point does it stop being paper? Although that would be good for, like, you know, setting, because, like, when the clay's wet, that's going back to hieroglyphics.
Yeah, well, it's just, like, using it like a little, stone tablet.
Yeah,
I think it's just to give it that, like, little shine, because they also talk about bleaching paper.
Bleaching paper.
Because you need,
to make it white.
Yeah, you need white paper so you can print on.
I've noticed in America, they always have yellow paper.
I think yellow paper, you're less, like, white, you got to work hard to bleach it and stuff, but yellow,
it just naturally looks like,
it's close enough.
Is it cheaper? I think yellow would be better on your eyes, because with white paper it does reflect. It's like when you look at black writing on a white page, that messes with your eyes a bit. But I've just noticed that, like, can you get yellow paper in Australia? Like, it's not common, or do I live a life of luxury?
No, you can get yellow paper. It's not usually used for printing paper, but you have like those legal pads.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Like your usual legal pad kind of thing with the rip-off paper. I've never worked anywhere where they had anything other than white paper, but in America they're all about yellow pads.
Well, yeah, people do like little surveys and stuff to figure out which colors are easier on the eyes and stuff. And because I guess with writing, you want to have a very, very light background and dark writing.
But at the,
because that's where you're going to get the best contrast.
But at the same time, the way the eye works, the black on white, you know, when you see like little like bits in between it and that, because the eye is dealing with the shades. When they first did computer screens, they were going to make the background yellow and the writing brown.
Oh, really?
I'm guessing they stopped that when they realized that's just like piss and poo.
I remember on the old computers, it used to all be green.
Yeah. I think that was the only color it could make. I'm guessing so black with the green background, which, do you remember when all movies about the future, everything was like green writing and you're like, wow, this is so futuristic.
Green is the most futuristic color.
It really is, isn't it? Green is the future. But now you look at those movies and you're like, wow, that's some outdated stuff.
I always like in those old movies where every computer hacker, when you see them on their screen, it looks like they're playing some sort of flight simulator.
Yes.
And they're flying up to things. You're like, that's not how computer hacking works at all.
Oh, you found the key in the maze. Oh, look, you upped a level. Use your +4 mace. I think when computer hacking became a thing and a sensation, everyone's trying to make, you know, movies about it, the first step that they encounter is, it's actually really boring. It's playing with a whole bunch of zeros and dots and knowing the key codes and stuff. Like, and I'm just making up words right now because I have no idea. All I know is it's really boring. And what
algorithms.
Thank you. That's a good one. I assume that's correct. And it's like, well, we just got to make it look cool. And you know what? People don't care. It's not like hackers are going to come out and go, hey, I'm a hacker. And I'm arrested now. Okay.
I actually have a great deal of respect for hackers and don't think I have anything bad to say about them, because they terrify the shit out of me.
It's true. They
anyone who can just destroy my life with a computer is just like, okay.
All right. You know what? You guys are cool.
Yeah. I'm not making fun of you.
Hey, if you want to hack in and give me money, we are looking for sponsors and any kind of, like, do you reckon hackers would sponsor us? I mean, it's not like it's going to cost them anything. Just give us money.
You already have our bank account details.
Exactly. Look, this is how I'm going to put it. If money starts mysteriously appearing in my bank account every week, I will run a campaign to say how good hackers are and how we should leave them alone.
Yeah, they're the one target where if I said something that pissed them off and they got angry at me, like that Anonymous group.
Yes.
If I pissed off Anonymous and they're just like, Ben Grauer is now an enemy of ours, I'm just like, okay, I'm sorry and you win. I will say anything you want about you.
I am now your puppet. What do you need done? I don't... And once again, what does it matter what I say? You guys have way more power than me. There's nothing that I could do for you that you couldn't do better with from your anonymous state.
All I ask is you please don't crush me like an ant.
And then you think about people who are hackers, they probably would have trouble crushing an ant, you know, because they're such ethical people and they wouldn't want to destroy a life because they're lovely people.
They are awesome.
They are wonderful.
So back to paper.
The enemy of the hacker. If you're really scared of hacking, put everything on paper.
Well, that's the thing. I was surprised that you have a paper page on Wikipedia, because isn't Wikipedia the replacement of paper?
Well, this is a history lesson so that kids go, So that's what people put Wikipedia pages on before there was Wikipedia. Yes, son. It was called A4. A for what? For effort.
It's like Wikipedia, but on a tree.
But they made them out of trees. Why would you do that
and
to a
rags.
Tree? And rags. What's a rag?
Rags are these things that they used to sell up until 2016 when we realized it was ridiculous to keep selling rags.
Rags are those things that they used to call them rags, and then we realized we could just sell them as old panties, and that's what you have in your room every night. Because I predict that will be the future. There will be no more paper, but everyone will get a weekly delivery of used underwear. It's a booming business.
Look at the applications of paper. Now, the first one is pretty much what your buddy P. Diddy was talking about.
Representing value. It does represent word. I'd just like to point out paper money. Does anyone other than America still use paper money? Australia, there's no paper in it whatsoever, is there?
No, even more, like, paper money, that's ridiculous. That's so outdated, no one has it. Go a couple across, check.
Check. But another outdated, you know, who uses checks anymore? I mean, other than pensioners.
I challenge you that in most situations, you can't use a check anymore.
That is true. People sort of look at it like, what are you giving me? What is this, a flooring?
If I gave you a checkbook and said, this is all you can use for the next week, you starve to death.
It's true.
You're there at McDonald's handing them a check going, look, I'm giving you this note that says I have the money. And they're like, look, we're not giving you a burger.
And that's what it is. It's a backed IOU. And when you go through the effort of cashing a check and you go through what it costs you to bank a check and what it costs you to actually use a check compared to like this cashless society idea, whoever is making money off checks must be really shaking in their boots right now. You can't retire on the check money anymore.
Have you ever used a check ever?
I've never had a checking account. I don't think I've ever felt mature enough to use a check.
Have you ever cashed a check outside of your grandparents giving you one for your birthday?
I have. The first time I ever made money doing comedy, I was given a check because I was in my late teens. I was 18. And the first thing I had to do was go and ask my parents how you cash a check. They didn't know I was doing comedy at the time. I was doing stand-up. And, Mom, how do you cash a check? Why do you need to know that? Because I was given a check. Why were you given a check? What did you do? I did a stand-up show. I knew you were a comedian. Other than that, I don't think I've ever cashed a check. The other time that checks come about is the ATO, the cash refund from your tax return. They don't do checks anymore.
No, they just deposit it straight in.
Yeah, they ask you for your bank details. Where was it I got a check from? I got a check from some, like a refund from an electricity company or something when I cancelled and I had a credit. And I never cashed it because it was like, you know, $62. And I'm like, look, I could be bothered going to all that effort for $62, which I could really use $62, I might add.
Yeah.
So I think checks, if you want to make sure that you don't lose any money, just pay everyone in checks. Like people, if you're a company that has to refund people, just refund in check. You will not lose any money. That's your money. You can go spend that money and not worry about it because everyone's going to look at it like, what is this? Is this like a Willy Wonka ticket? What do I do with this?
See, I don't even remember the last time I walked into a bank. Everything I do is on phone, internet.
And that is, I used to do it a lot because I used to deal a lot with cash. And you know what? It's great. No lines. You just walk up. It's just me and a bunch of 65-year-olds getting their pension out in cash so they can go to a pokey machine. Mind you, like, I could see people getting a check and then going to, like, try and pay pass with it. Yeah. Like, waving it in front of the machine. Why is it not working? It says $62 on it. It
should come up on the screen.
I'm sorry. I think your machine's broken. This should be... See the value? You can see the value. I don't understand this anymore.
Story. But no, it's weird with the applications of money, of how much of the applications of paper are sort of floating out of existence. Because paper money, you don't really get anymore. Banknote.
Question, is there a difference between paper money and banknotes? What's a banknote?
If they're two different things, then I don't actually know what a banknote is. Because I assumed a banknote was paper money.
Is it a note from the bank saying, is that like a money order? Because that's not done at the bank. That's done at the post office.
I don't know. Checks, well, they're already gone.
They're gone. Security paper. What's a security paper?
Like, I don't know, but I reckon you could get it on your iPad now. Same with vouchers and tickets.
Because, yeah, vouchers now will come on, like, the credit card-y things, don't they, where you zap it.
And same with the tickets. Like, you get it on your phone and you just swipe on the door.
It all comes online. This is really a history page, isn't it? That's kind of sad. When you started saying this is all going out, I'm looking at these now, I'm like, they're gone. on.
What else have you got? Next category for storing information.
I like that. Storing information. Book.
Again, replaced by iPads and ebooks.
And I like that it says storing information, you know, like a USB or a hard drive. But you can also store information in a book. Did you know that? So like, it's not like books contain information or books are information. It's storing information. They're using the modern day terminology to describe old world things.
Book, notebook, magazine, and newspaper. All pretty much different versions of the same thing.
It really is. There's the book, which is already printed. The notebook, which is you write in it. And the magazine is the Diet Coke of books.
It's kind of like how a movie, a television show, and an ad are all pretty much the same thing. It's just something you watch in the same way a book, a magazine, and a newspaper.
Exactly. Exactly
and,
right.
And art.
And speaking of dying, newspapers.
What's a zine?
A zine.
It looks like some sort of book.
Self-published work of original or appropriated text. And
so it's basically... Oh, sorry, were you still reading that?
I don't know what I was reading. Yeah. Oh, yeah. A zine. It's like an old-timey way of saying like a publication, like if you're a communist or something and wanted to hand out a newsletter.
So it's longer than a newsletter.
Kind of like a little booklet. It's like a mini magazine, I think, but it's usually got a point to it. It's not just for... Like a magazine is just so you can flip through it while you're waiting for your turn at the dentist. Whereas a zine is like supposed to change your outfit. And then letter, which speaking of outdated.
That's like an old version of an email. And emails are kind of outdated at the moment.
Yeah, and which is kind of like, what's the new thing? Like
text message.
Text message, which is
it's
like a
tweet.
It's a tweet. Knowing the rate these things are moving, by the time you people hear this, it'll be something completely different that we haven't even fathomed.
But then you go for personal use, which diary. Is diary and note. Not a notebook, a note.
Which, how do you make notes? Well, you take a page from a notebook.
What's so if you tear it out, it's now personal use, but before that, you were storing information.
And what's a diary? Well, it's when you take a notebook.
And then they got down there for communication, which we already covered letter. And I think somebody here is trying to push, like, usefulness of paper. It's got, like, very little usefulness, and they're just, like, going, nah, does communication, personal use, storing information, like, and then a letter is all of those.
And when they had to put out examples, they're like, this is just literally the same thing over and over. They're really trying to sell it. Like, no, it's got 1,000 uses. Like what? Well, you can write on it. What else? Someone else could write on it. So yeah, this is really just, this is kind of sad to look at, isn't it? Scratch paper for temporary personal use.
Oh, that's if like your pen, you know, you want to get your pen working.
So in other words, that's just another piece of paper from the notebook that you write on to make sure that your pen's working.
Scratch paper is the rags of paper.
Which you can't sell to make more paper.
Yeah, because you know, like when you got like a notebook, that first page that you're never going to use for anything because it's got scribbles all over it from when you're trying to get your pens to work.
Yes. Which is another, you're pointing out another great problem with paper. You know, I've never had to have a scratch web page. Maybe there is one. Maybe somewhere on the internet, there's just this page with like half made E's and Z's of people just hitting their keyboard going,
come on, work.
Work, damn it. Hang on, I need to lick it a little bit. That usually helps.
Yeah, it'd be funny if like when you started typing, it was faint and it got darker a bit.
And then there was this big blotch at the bottom of your B. No, shake the keyboard. That usually, you got to shake it so it gets through. Yeah, okay.
They got for packaging. See, that might be saved. You still can't wrap something in an iPad.
Yeah, that's true. You do need to wrap your iPad in paper, which is the ultimate insult to paper. You're just the disposable thing that we surround our useful little replacement of paper with.
Do you reckon all the other papers look at the wrapping paper as like the Uncle Tom of paper? Where it's just like you keep wrapping yourself around these iPads. They're kicking the rest of us out.
You're such a hanger-on.
They're the one cleaning.
Toilet paper.
Yeah, toilet paper.
Handkerchiefs. I'm going to stand up and say handkerchiefs are not paper. I mean, they did say earlier, that's a rag. It's a snot rag.
Because if you have a paper handkerchief, that's a tissue.
Yeah,
which they have there. And cat litter.
Cat litter. Well, is it made from paper?
I guess it is. It's on the Wikipedia page.
Cat litter. I suppose so.
Well, yeah, that's just... Yeah, this one just tells you what litter is.
It's got...
I'm pretty familiar with what cat litter is. For construction.
Paper mache, which is just paper and glue.
Is origami construction? Or is that just folding?
It's specific paper. Like origami paper is like wax paper that's really delicate.
Any paper that's a square you can make origami out of.
That is technically true. But like certain like corners and stuff might get roughed up. Is origami construction? Well, you don't need a hard hat to do it. You don't need a worker's permit ever. And I don't think it's ever done anything useful. No matter how good you are, all you're ever going to do is make that little swan where you pull the tail and the head moves. Go, look, I made something. That's great.
All right, I will give you that origami can be like a good, excellent form of construction that we can count as construction. construction, but paper planes.
I think it's more useful than origami.
I
to
think
be honest.
That's stretching.
Well, if you've got a friend, it's even like within throwing distance. Well, actually, you know, I'm going to take that back because there's nothing the paper plane can do that scrunching that piece of paper up and throwing it at the person couldn't do better.
I would say that I have played more games on my phone where I'm throwing a paper plane than I have actually thrown paper planes in the last 5 years.
Yeah, I can see that. Paper planes are definitely a great way of passing a message to someone that you really didn't want to get that message because you're aiming for someone else. It's a great way for getting a piece of information stuck in a tree.
And you just write a message in it going, sorry about your eye.
Oh, hey, how did he know? Quilling. For construction, you can quill.
Isn't a quill like one of those pens that are made of a feather?
A quill is like where you dip the ink. It's basically just a stick that you've covered in ink and then you write two letters and have to re-ink it again. That's how all pens used to be like before we were born, and that's probably how our parents had to learn to write.
See, I've always wanted like one of those quill things with the ink station, but I have no use for it whatsoever.
That's true, and all it really is just a stain waiting to happen. That's gonna get knocked over.
Yeah, my cat's gonna push that instantly off the table.
It won't like it. It doesn't smell nice to cats. It doesn't like it. And like, if I was to get a quill, I'd still have a biro with just a feather attached to it. It's too inconvenient, as cool as it is. My dearest Gwendolyn, I bought this from Bic. Paper honeycomb. That has got to be the most disappointing kind of honeycomb I've ever heard of.
Tastes like a napkin. Have you seen those though? The little the honey kind of ball thing. Are they like balls? Were they?
No, I think it's just like it's honeycomb shaped. Maybe click on it so we can see if we're idiots or not. The structure of it, it's used to hold things up a lot better.
If it's made of paper.
Oh, they do it with fiberglass.
Oh, it's a very short page.
In the Second World War. Oh yeah, so that for aeroplanes, but they didn't do it out of paper. I'm just going to put this out there. Any plane that was made out of paper, you really can't fly when it's raining.
Have you seen some of the old like World War One and Two planes where they pretty much look like they're made of paper? They're like a wooden balsa frame and then just like, they look like a toy model aeroplane.
It's true. Yeah, now go to war with that.
If you buy a model aeroplane from the First World War, it's actually made of sturdier stuff than the planes that flew in the First World War.
Like the models are actually literal models. If you just take the instructions times all the distances by 42, you have a plane. What else we got here?
You got other uses. You got sandpaper.
Which, that's stretching it, right? Mm. Like, yes, it is paper. You know, sandpaper, like, you can't, like, it's not the paper that's getting the credit, that's the sand.
You can't just rub sand on something.
If you glued sand to a piece of plastic, it'd actually work a lot better than the paper.
Would it?
I assume so. I've never tested, although then you'd think that would exist, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I assume that they would have just done that because it'd last longer.
It would work better, it would last longer. So maybe I'm completely off on that.
Because I figure with the sandpaper, it's kind of like one of those Reese's Pieces things where it's peanut butter and chocolate together and you couldn't take away either.
It does make it more malleable to go around corners, and I retract my statement.
Sandpaper is probably the one paper use that I'm on board with aside from toilet paper. Toilet paper, yeah, I'm full on with that. But I have actually had some toilet paper that is like sandpaper.
Yeah, and I've had some sandpaper that's like toilet paper. Can't get rid of that shit.
Oh, and filter paper.
I just want to stop right there. Blotting paper, which is the same as scratch paper, isn't it? Oh, no.
On a blotting roll.
What's a blotting roll?
Oh, so that's for painting.
So it's kind of like, it's the same as a scratch paper, but for painting rather than for writing.
This has drugs.
Oh, yeah, on blotting paper. Yeah. That's how you get acid. Yeah, it comes in a tab is a piece of paper.
Yeah, so blotting paper, that's for acid.
This brings up the greatest point that we have completely overlooked. The greatest use for paper, and the reason paper will continue to exist throughout eternity, is that you can't put acid on a USB.
That's true.
I can't email you acid, but I can send you a magazine. But it will mean that in the future, like, acid is actually the hardest drug to find. It has no smell, it has no visible, like, you can put it in anything and it's very undetectable. So in the future, the only way that they will find acid is if you actually have a piece of paper on you, because why else would you have paper other than to sell drugs? It's going to be a lot easier to find. And yet, what did you say, filter paper?
Yeah, filter papers on there, which they filter things through paper, like coffee.
Oh yeah.
Filter papers.
That's true.
So if you like your freshly ground coffee,
to go through a filter paper. But that's a bit, once again, that's a bit more on the fabric side.
Though people mostly use those little pod machines these days. Do you got one of them?
I do, actually.
What's your one?
I don't know. Someone gave it to me. Yeah. I never really looked at it.
I get a cheap Aldi one, but the coffee refills are cheap, so I was happy.
Yes, I use them. I work at a job that's incredibly boring, so I need coffee to stay awake, and that's the best coffee they have. But I always look at it like, all it really is coffee cordial. It's like a sachet that you may as well just chuck. I don't see why we need the machine. Just put it in the cup and then filter it through the same as anything else. All it is just cordial, coffee cordial.
Pretty much.
I still drink it.
It's all part of the routine. I get annoyed with the pod machines these days that, like, if you used to do it with the kettle and the instant cup, you could make coffees for everyone. Yep. Now it's sort of like you have to make everybody's coffee individually.
One at a time, because there's no multiple pod. A pod is a person. Yeah, there's no pod machine that's like, you know, for the party.
Even the milk frother and stuff like that that comes with it, it only fits like one cup's worth of milk.
So it's all individualized, essentially.
So what do we got here now? The types, thicknesses, and weight. Yeah, again, not the most interesting section of it.
But this is honestly what paper comes down to, because you know, like when you get like paper and you're like, ooh, this is good quality paper. It's because it's thicker. Generally, that's what happens. Like, good quality paper is thicker.
Is A1 bigger than A4?
Yes. A1's the biggest that you conventionally get. And like, because B5 is smaller than... Oh, no, sorry. The way it works is, yeah, A4 is half of A3, which is half of A2, which is like you keep folding it.
Oh, yeah.
So A5 is if you take an A4 piece of paper and fold it long ways in half, you make an A5.
Why did the A4 take off?
They tried A1 and they tried A2. I think it was just the fourth prototype. No, I think it's just the best size, I think, for getting a thought out. What I want to know is, why did they start at A1? What decided what A1 was?
Because it's pretty big. Is it like poster size?
I imagine. See, what we have to do is we have to take an A4 piece of paper and then double it, then double it, then double it, then double it. Yeah, I'm going to say that's a poster size. Pretty big. I don't know where.
So how many
from.
Pieces of A4 paper would there be in a piece of A1?
I'd imagine 16, because it's 4x4. Because you double it, that's 2. You double it again, that's 4. You double it again, that's 8. Yeah, 16.
16. Yeah, basically 16. And A1 is 16 A4 pieces of paper.
Why did we start there? But then there's also the Bs. I have no idea what the Bs are. Why there's B5 and B4.
I thought they were vitamins or bananas.
Maybe that's the difference. A1's made from paper and B5 is made from bananas.
See, I wouldn't think thickness of paper is a big deal.
Well, you wouldn't think that. But when you get like a business card from someone, or someone hands you a piece of paper and it's like a formal occasion, you do subconsciously take on board, hey, this feels important, because it's thicker or it's nicer paper. It's more that fabric-y kind of
quality.
It's like
a scene in American Psycho.
It really is.
Where they're all comparing cards, even though it looks like they've all got exactly the same bloody card.
Exactly right. That's exactly it. It's the subconscious side of it. It's a funny thing, because the thicker it is, the better. But then you get to a certain level where it's just cardboard, and that's way worse. But then you've got the other side of it. The thinner it is, like on wedding invitations, thinner the paper, like crepe paper, like really thin, and oh, this is so delicate. It must be very, very important. So important that the piece of paper it's on has to be attached to a piece of cardboard, otherwise it won't ever make it to you.
Yeah, they have paper may be classified into 7 different categories. You have printing paper, which is, you know, just trying to work with what's eventually throwing it over. Wrapping papers, writing papers. There's the blotting papers again. They seem very important to have the acid paper. It's all hemp and acid.
That's what we're down to. Papers only exist for drugs. Let's be real.
And you got drawing papers and handmade papers.
Now,
which is probably that thing at school where you tore up paper and
made it yourself. They say there's 7 categories, but really that's like 3. A lot of those are the same.
Yeah, because you could sort of have drawing paper and writing paper is pretty much the same.
And down the bottom, there's specialty papers. And that's where you got your cigarette paper, your toilet tissue, and other industrial papers. Butcher paper. That's the other thing that we're going to always use paper for, wrapping sausages.
I guess that's a thickness thing, because you can use it for like tracing and so forth, like transparency to paper.
Yes, that's true.
They have some paper types include, that's a huge list. Do you recognize blank paper? Oh, no, bank paper is the first one.
Banana paper.
Bond paper.
What's banana paper? Paper for bananas or paper made of bananas?
I think it's paper made of bananas.
Like what?
Banana plant paper.
Banana. Do they use it for anything?
I think it's like the banana leaves.
I don't see a point in it. Like, is it different? Or are they making the same thing? And like, do you have this paper you use it, and people, did you know that's made from bananas? I can't believe it's not real paper. That's odd. Oak tag paper.
Yeah, the wax paper.
Wax paper. Now, someone wallpaper. Along the way added wax to paper, and it just changed paper's life forever.
And also, again, it's got waterproof paper and wax paper, and I thought they were the same thing.
Wax paper is only waterproof on one side.
Yeah, fish paper.
fish paper. Paper from fish?
That's what I'm looking at, eh? Just to see if it's...
That's got a stink.
Doesn't look like it, though.
Strong, flexible, fibrous, dielectric paper. It's resistant to moderate heat. I like that. It resists moderate heat. So, yeah, it can be kind of warm. Mummy paper. Oh, paper that they used to wrap mummies. Like the Egyptians, like we said. Cotton paper. Craft paper, spelt with a K. Inkjet paper. Yeah,
is that craft by the brand Craft, then?
I think either that or it's a German craft.
There could be a brand thing, like a baking paper.
Do they have baking paper?
Maybe that's what the craft paper is.
Oh, it's just used for doing crafts, but they spelt it with a K.
Do you reckon eventually certain words could just change where craft would just be spelt with a K in the future because all the stores just seem to do it that way? And easy in the future is E-Z-Y. Over time, popular usage.
The word R, like A-R-E, will just eventually just be R, thanks to text messages.
And then after the stability of paper, which basically says in there, if you have good paper making people, you get it's good paper. You have shitty people, you have shitty paper.
And shitty paper is toilet paper.
But you got the environmental impact of paper, which is an argument that I've never really understood. Because people go, we don't want to use too much paper or all the trees are going to get cut down. But wouldn't we just plant trees and do tree farms?
Deforestation is the argument there. And I don't think they make good paper from cutting down a natural forest because you want consistent kind of wood that makes it. But the theory is that they're cutting down the forest to plant the trees. So it's kind of like, hey, you're getting rid of trees to make trees so that you can cut down those trees to make trees. So you can cut down those trees to make trees. And
logging of old growth forests accounts for less than 10%
of wood pulp, which is what's used to make paper.
Yeah, which I don't even understand why they would bother doing that, because it's like nobody gets worried that carrots are going to go extinct if we eat too many of them. Because farmers just plant more.
It's kind of like, well, the less carrots we eat, the more it will be extinct. If everyone stops eating chicken, chickens are going to die.
Same with cows. I haven't seen any in the wild.
They will not last in the wild. I mean, I've seen water buffalo and you've seen like bison and buffaloes and stuff. That's what a cow needs to be to exist in the wild, to live in the wild. You put a chicken out in the wild again, it's just going to be something else's food. The only way a chicken can live is if people want it to die. We want to eat it. So it's the same for trees.
So if we have like tree farms, because you even think of like recycling paper, you need a machine to do that.
To take the paper that was once paper and turn it into paper.
But if you're making paper from scratch, the machine you need to do that is a tree. Like you planned a tree, so you'd have lines and lines of trees. And so just like, why would they go to the Amazon, cut down a bunch of forest, ship it all the way back here and turn it into napkins?
Exactly. It would be cheaper and easier just to plant trees.
Like I've always thought with recycling paper, it doesn't make a lot of sense. We should just do a lot of tree farms anyway, because then we solve the problem of wanting to have heaps of trees.
There's a constant need for trees. Let's be honest, if we actually went out of our way and went, no, from now on, we are going to recycle paper. All the tree plantations that are used to make paper are going to go bust. And I don't know if those trees will last without the, like, maybe people will, they will clear the land to, I don't know, have cows or something. Then there's less trees. Think about that, environmentalists.
But it does say that paper accounts for 40% of the waste. Well, that's in the United States. Again, get rid of them.
Yeah, once again, like...
That's the argument to get rid of the United States, not paper.
Yeah, not paper, America. Like, if America... Like, China, have a go. Have a crack. Like, I think the more we... Every Wikipedia page has a hint of how America's kind of screwing everyone else. It's completely unintentional. I mean, we're talking about paper. How could that possibly have anything... Oh, look, there's America wasting again, destroying the planet.
And then we're up to the final part, which is the future of paper.
It doesn't say the word grim anywhere.
Yeah, which let me skip over this. Blah, blah, blah. It doesn't have one. iPad.
Paper.com.
That's it. You really need to start going the whole like, hey, until they can make iPads out of hemp.
Exactly. There's not really a place for you. Hey, there will always be wrapping paper.
They've got wrapping paper, sandpaper, toilet paper.
Toilet paper. That's a keeper.
Oh, and blotting paper.
Which?
We need the blotting paper, remember?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep. Yes. Yes.
So there are a handful of good uses for paper. I was actually a little skeptical when we did this one by going paper's shitty, paper's useless.
And like by the time that people hear this, will paper even be a thing? How long could it last? Another week? This, yeah, in its traditional form, yeah, that's where it's getting less and less. Like, I still use paper, but I'm a dinosaur and we know this. I kind of speculate, like, I know that I use paper all the time, but I'm pretty sure everyone else has just moved away. No one else has, like, a book that they write in.
No, I think we just have, like, an app that we open on our phone these days.
It's called Book. And they actually have iPads called notebooks, don't they? Your laptops are now called, like, within a generation, kids are going to think that a notebook is a laptop. Well, that's not sad. Well, it's sad that I have a problem with it.
See, I think my takeaway from this page, though, is that paper was invented by a Chinese eunuch.
I think that's all you need to know. Like, in the future, that's time passes, you know, history gets condensed more and more. And in the future, like, we're talking like 30 generations time, kids are going to learn about paper in history because it won't be anywhere else. You know, now pull out your notepads, aka laptops, and we're all going to learn and take notes about paper. Now, paper was manufactured and constructed largely by eunuchs for the purposes of the Chinese emperor, and they didn't wipe their asses with it. The end. Now let's talk about 8-tracks. So I was expecting this to be boring, but the whole eunuch thing, that's interesting to know. I didn't know that. An inch made paper, inch. And that's what it takes.
Yeah, if I were him, I'd just want it to be inch.
Yeah, inch. I wonder why that's never a last name. Oh, that's why. Can't pass that name on.
See, I figured the secret to being a eunuch is the same as being on a tall building. Just don't look down and you'll be fine.
Always go to the stall. No one needs to know you sit down to pee. That's just life, man.
All right, how would you rate this page?
Well, I was pleasantly surprised. I thought this was going to be really boring, and it's turned out to be quite entertaining. Like, don't get me wrong, it's not awesomely entertaining. It's just that it's surpassed my expectations. So on the patented, trademarked Garth Remington scale, which you may notice changes every week, I'm going to say this is honey on toast out of a possible bacon.
Honey on toast out of a possible bacon. Yes. That's quite a decent score, I know you, so that...
That is quite a decent score. I mean, it's not bacon.
No. I would never think it was that far, but to get to the honey on toast level, like...
It's definitely above... It's way above artichoke, and it's miles away from taking a big steaming pile of shit on toast.
See, I think artichoke is what we expected when we first came to this.
We definitely did. I was thinking, you know, this is going to be anchovies, artichokes on whole wheat bread. But this is white bread, golden brown toasted, honey. Like the good honey. Store-bought honey. Mm. Not the one you had to steal from a... Is there any other store-bought honey? Is there any other honey other than store-bought?
Not really, unless you go find a beehive yourself.
Well, this is... I grew up on a farm. It's a little... I've got a little different outlook. No, they come from the guy who puts the hives on the farm and he just gives you a bucket. Does anyone else get their honey in a bucket? Is that a thing?
No, I think that's the same as people getting newspapers and so forth.
Okay, it's... Yeah. It's nice to know how outdated I am. Now, how did you find this?
Well, I really enjoyed it. I mean, it picks up strong by starting with the interesting inventor of the paper being a Chinese eunuch. But yeah, and it did annoy me that there is no real clear, like, after this, I still have no idea when paper was actually invented, because every date that they have, they seem to contradict somewhere else on the page. I find it funny that it was first called Baghdadius, because now I can say that the Quran is Baghdadius and no one can get offended.
That's good. Baghdadius, and so is the Bible.
Exactly. It's just all Baghdadius.
It's a very Baghdadius form that it's been, medium that's been distributed in.
I enjoyed learning that, like, rag pickers are still a thing even today. It's something that I hadn't really given thought about.
You don't, do you? That's, I think it's overlooked, is it, its strength. And I know of a company, a rag picking company, which, because it is something which, what a lot of unemployed, like people who are homeless, what they'll do is they'll involve them in like business to collect rags and sell rags. And I saw this company, a really sophisticated rag selling company, yeah, if you can imagine it. And it said, all our proceeds, we try to donate to homeless people, which is ironic because you're taking the one job they have away from them.
Well, that would work for them. They still get paid and they don't even have to do the job anymore.
This is sweet. Where do I sign up?
But yeah, I am kind of changed about paper, because I was very skeptical at first, but by the end of it, I guess I had to admit that there are some uses of paper that technology doesn't seem like it's going to override.
No one's wiping their ass with an iPad.
No. Until they get an app for that, we're just going to have to continue with the toilet paper. Or until those Japanese toilets come out and shoot water up my ass.
Until it's compulsory and we all have to just accept that we're going to get shot up the ass with water.
Even then, for the first fortnight, I'd be like, I miss toilet paper.
And then by the end of it, like, I can't believe I used to wipe my ass with that Stone Age tool.
So I think I would give this page
52 out of 89.
Ooh.
And I think most of my score has to go with the fact that it completely surprised me. When I first found out what we were doing, I was kind of like, well, that's a boring subject. You know, I wonder if we're going to be able to do it. But yeah, this ended up being quite full of entertainment. Lots of good talking points in there.
It's opened my eyes. It really did. By repeating over and over again its uses, they tried to make it seem like it's better than it is. It's really pointed out how limited paper's use is. Although it will exist, its days of being used is just numbered in a lot of the sectors. If they wanted to improve this page, they could just say paper was made by a eunuch. The end.
Just one sentence. That would have got full marks then.
Yeah, that would have been a bacon. Bacon on multigrain, I'm
saying.
It's
just all that other filler that brings it down.
It does. The optimistic look at how it really just isn't. What was that, a 52?
52 out of 89.
Wow. That's paper, you should be on it. That's way better than a 40 out of 50, I gotta tell you.
That's gonna be it for that episode. I've been Ben Graw.
I've been Garth Remington.
And we'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks for tuning in.
Email us at wikireviewpodcast@gmail.com. Theme is I Live for the Bass Drum, provided by our buddy DJ Searle. All other music by Matt Graw.